Do you know how it feels to know something's missing, to hear a still small voice you just keep dismissing? Do you know how it feels to be troubled inside, to think just for you on the cross someone died?
Do you know how it feels when he knocks to surrender, have your sins washed away, never to be remembered, and now that it's real, tell me, do you know how it feels?
How does it feel to know you're a child of the King, your heavenly Father owns everything? How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real?
Ain't it good to know how it feels? Do you know how it feels when your cold heart is melted and tears started flowing the moment you felt it? Do you know how it feels to know you've been changed, and it seems that the whole world has been rearranged?
Do you know how it feels wherever you roam, you still have the feeling that you're not at home, knowing heaven is real? Tell me, do you know how it feels?
How does it feel to know you're a child of the King, your heavenly Father owns everything? How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real?
Ain't it good to know how it feels?
How does it feel to know you're a child of the King, your heavenly Father owns everything? How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real?
Ain't it good to know how it feels?
And to know that it's real.
Ain't it good
to know how it feels?
Tonight, as I began a series on King's Own Parade, and I know Samuel's not a king. Samuel's a transitional man. Samuel is a judge and a prophet. I mean, he was kind of a special individual. God used him in a mighty way. And there's no way that I'm going to exhaust the biblical content on this man Samuel tonight, but I want to highlight some things, hit some high spots that I hope will help you, maybe that would encourage you to do a little further study on this man, Samuel. Now, in these messages that God's laid on my heart, I've been reading in what's called the double books of the Old Testament. You know what those are. 1 and 2 Samuel. 1 and 2 Kings. 1 and 2 Chronicles. And it's great reading. Amen. Listen, I think about these Hollywood producers that try to produce these thrills and this excitement, you know, in these movies. I got to tell you something, brethren. They have nothing to compare to what this book right here has. You get to reading some of this stuff, and it'll keep you up. You'll be on the edge of your seat. There's four main characters in 1 Samuel. David, of course. Saul. Eli. And we're going to speak about the fourth one here, Samuel. Samuel. Now, I want to give you a little backdrop. And I only have three short points tonight, okay? We're going to look at the man's mother, because she was very instrumental. And I want to say a word about that as I get to that. Thank God for godly mothers, but I'll address that when I get there. Listen, if you've got a praying mother tonight, you ought to thank God for her. Now you listen to me. You ought to tell her every day, Mom, I love you. And I thank God for you. I don't care if you're 50, amen? And she's 90. You tell your mother, thank God for a praying mother. You thank God for a praying mother and a praying father. Some children do not have that privilege, and it's a privilege. If you enjoy that, you thank God for your praying mom and dad. I'm going to talk about the man's mother. I'm going to talk a little bit about the man's ministry. God gave this man a ministry, a God-called ministry. And then we're going to talk about the man's mission. He had a mission in life. Brethren, I tell you, if you want to live life to its fullest, you got to have a mission. All right? You got to have a goal. Listen, somebody has said, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. You got to have a goal. You got to have a mission in life. And of course, that's purpose. And we call that, the Bible refers to that as God's will. And Samuel knew God's will, and he fulfilled God's will in his life. That doesn't mean Samuel was perfect. We're going to see some things here tonight I hope will be an encouragement to everybody, young and old. All right? I want you to take your Bible and hold it here in 1 Samuel. Turn back just a few pages to the 21st chapter of the book of Judges. This is the way Judges ends. And this is the time that Samuel kind of comes on the scene. The Bible says in Judges chapter 21 and verse number 25, it says, in those days, Judges, that's just a few book, listen, just a few pages back. You just kind of got to go through the book of Ruth backwards, and you come to the end of the book of Judges, and you'll find in the last chapter there, chapter 21, verse number 25, where the Bible says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. And so these are the days of the judges, and you've read through the judges. It's great reading, okay? Israel was a theocracy, and Israel's getting ready to go through a transitional time. They cried for a king, and so Samuel, he helps make that transition from a theocracy to a monarchy, all right? And we'll talk about that later on in our studies, but I want you to understand he's a transitional man, and God used him in a mighty way. Took a special person to do what Samuel did, to come on the scene in the time that he did. The Bible says in verse 25, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right. And this is sad. In his own eyes. He didn't do that which was right. Now, if it had ended there, well, that would have been a good statement. Every man did that which was right. But it goes on to tell us that he did that not which was right, but which was right in his own eyes. And that's not good. We live kind of in that day. It's kind of anarchy, you know, where everyone just kind of makes their own rules and does their own thing. All right? So that's kind of the backdrop of where Samuel comes on the scene. So let's talk a little bit about Samuel's mother. You know this story. Listen, if you've been saved for any length of time, some of you were brought up from a child in Sunday school, and you've heard about Hannah and the dilemma that she had. Here's a situation. Chapter 1, I'm just going to highlight some things. Follow me if you would. I think you'll really, really enjoy this study. The Bible says that there was a certain man, and Elkanah was this man. It talks about him being the son of Joram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph and Ephrathite. Okay, so here's this man. And the Bible introduces this man, and it says this man had two wives. Now, that's not a good thing. All right, so young people, listen to me. That's not a good thing. Now, someone has said that the Bible is no different than the Quran because they both endorse polygamy. Well, they haven't studied their Bible well, because while the Quran does endorse polygamy, the Bible introduces polygamy and tells us about it, but it never endorses or sanctions it. So you get that now, all right? God has made it clear that from the beginning, one man, one wife. Okay, God's made that very clear. Not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. But now here's a problem. Here's a man. Now I don't know all of what happened. There are historians, Josephus and others, who tell us that what had happened is that Elkanah had married Hannah, took her to wife, and after several years, that when she could bear no child, as we will see in our study, that God had shut up her womb for a purpose. That when she could bear no child, that in this culture, in this day, now I'm not saying that this is the way it is, I'm saying in this culture that I read to you from, and in this day, that was like a curse to a woman, okay, not to be able to bear children to her husband. It was like a shame. Now, if you're here today and you, listen, you have not or you cannot bear children, that doesn't mean you're under a curse. So I'm not saying that. Don't hear what I'm saying. Listen carefully. I'm not saying that's a curse. I'm saying in this society, in this culture, in this day, it was viewed as that. And so, as we shall see, Hannah was very sorrowful in heart. And of course, Elkanah, the history tells us that he took another woman to wife. Now, the Bible doesn't endorse that, but the Bible tells us that this is what happened. He had two wives, all right? Now, that's a problem. But the real problem is found in verse 2, the latter part of it. Look at that last phrase. So you have Peninnah, okay? So you have Peninnah, you have Hannah, and then you have Elkanah. So here's this family, if you will. And so the Bible says that Hannah, in the latter part of verse number 2, but Hannah. Now that's a negative connotation, okay? It doesn't say and Hannah. It says but Hannah. In other words, you've got Elkanah, happy. Peninnah, happy. Hannah, not happy. You with me? But Hannah had no children. And so the Bible tells us that there was a contention because of this. The scripture says that the Lord, in the latter part of verse number 5, had shut up her womb. Now, for whatever purpose, and God does all things well. Maybe he was testing their faith. Maybe God was, God does everything well, and he does everything with purpose. Verse number 6 says that her adversary also provoked her sore to make her fret. In other words, she was just making her life miserable. And you can hear it, you know, because the Lord has shut up her womb. That's what verse 6 says. You can just kind of imagine the things that were said in the home and about Hannah having no children and just a lot of provoking going on there. And this only added to the heartache of Hannah. Now, there's some people, they're happiest when you're the most miserable. You've met those people, right? You know what I mean? They just feed on that stuff. Well, this woman was that kind of person, all right? And so she was just playing in the hands of the devil and really, really going after Hannah about this situation. Well, the Bible goes on to say that Hannah was so vexed. She was so torn in her soul. In the latter part of verse number 7, it says, after a year, he went up and to the house of the Lord. So she provoked her, meaning Peninnah, still provoking. Therefore, she wept and did eat and did not eat. Now watch this, all right? Now all men know about this, and ladies know about it. They use it on us all the time. We can't stand to see you cry, all right? We can't stand to see you cry. And I got to say this. It's just a little add-in here. I went with Mariah to help her get a car last week, and she was a little torn about something. She's going to start laughing over there. I'm not going to tell it all, but she it looked like she wasn't going to be able to get that car because she didn't have any credit. And I don't understand all that, okay? You got to have credit to get credit. I mean, it was just crazy. And I said, listen, you got to help me understand here. So you got to be in debt to get credit. But anyway, so, I mean, a couple of tears came up in her eyes. She's really wanting that car, And I'm going to tell you, that salesman, man, he broke. I mean, he said, we're going to get this done, amen. And I was praying under my breath, and I said, thank God he broke before I did, amen. I'm serious, I can be. I'm serious. I said, thank God he broke before I did, amen. And he did. He went and got the sales manager. And so ladies, listen, I'm going to tell you how to get a good deal. It was something. I watched it happen. I mean, it just happened right before my eyes. Well, watch this now. Watch this. Here's Hannah. And she's sincerely moved. She's broken in her heart. And the Bible says in verse number 6 or 7, therefore she wept and did not eat. Now watch what Elkanah does. Now this is something. Now men, some men, and I used to have this gift. I think I've finally prayed and God took it from me. I used to have the gift of saying the wrong thing at the wrong time to my wife. Any of you men ever had that gift? Amen. Especially when she's crying. You know, we got to try to make it better, right? I mean, here she is crying, and we got to say something to make it better. And so we just roll off something stupid. Amen. And then after it's over, we say, man, where did that come from? Watch what Elkanah does. Now, this is humorous. I mean, it really is. Look at verse number 8, if you would. Then said Elkanah, now watch this. Here's a woman who hasn't had any children, all right? She's burdened. I mean, she wept sore. She's not even eating, right? And here's Peninnah, she's just rubbing it in. And so here's his answer to it. Look at it here in verse number 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Oh, man. And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? He needs to shut up. Amen. Amen. Right. Now, you've done that, right? Right, sir? I've done that. But we pray, God, help me to get over that. She doesn't want to hear that, right? She doesn't want to hear that. She wants some children. She wants God to do something in her life. And so the Bible says in verse number 9 that she got up, and I mean, she knew what to do with her burden. Brethren, she took her burden to God, and I mean, she poured out her soul to God. And there's a great lesson here. She poured out her complaint and she poured out her soul to God and she got God's attention. Now, when you study the life of Samuel, you're going to find here was a man who knew how to pray. And we're going to see this before this message is over tonight. But I'm going to tell you who he got it from. He got it from a praying mama. He got it from a mama who knew how to get hold of God. Oh, Samuel knew how to get hold of God. Listen, there's some scriptures that'll touch your soul when you read how this man knew how to get a hold of heaven. It was because he had a mama who knew how to get a hold of heaven. Now, if you're here tonight and you had a mama or a grandma or somebody that watched over your soul and held your soul up to heaven and knew how to get hold of God for you and knew how to get hold of heaven, you ought to praise God for him every day of your life. Don't you ever take that for granted. And the Bible says that she prayed in verse number 10 when they went up to the temple. She went up to the temple. Verse number 10 says she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow. And she said, oh, Lord of hosts. Someone had said, one of the authors that I love reading after old Martin Lloyd-Jones said, when you get that oh in prayer, brother, I mean, you laying hold of the horns of the altar. When you get that, oh, God, in prayer, when your soul is in agony and you say, oh, God, I mean, that's when you're getting hold of heaven. Amen? You're not chomping gum and smiling and flippantly saying, God, I need you. You're getting hold. You're grabbing hold of the horns of the altar. You're bearing your soul. It's not what you say. It's what's in your heart. See, the tears, someone said, is the prayer language that God can hear. Listen to me now. It's not this poetic, it's not all that. It's the heart. It's the condition of the heart that God looks on when we're praying. And Hannah was sore of heart. She was burned in her heart. And the Bible says she prayed and she said, oh, Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid. I like this now, watch it. And remember me. God, don't forget me. Remember me and don't forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli, backslidden priest now, this backslidden priest, didn't know the difference between a drunk woman and a burdened woman. Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake, watch it now, in her heart. She spake in her heart. And that's the kind of prayer that God's listening for. Now listen to me, God's looking on your heart. Now I'm not saying that you shouldn't verbalize your prayer. But what I'm saying, it's not always what we say. Sometimes I don't even know what to pray for. And you don't either. Sometimes you're so burdened in your soul. You're so afflicted and perplexed. You don't know what to say, but God knows what you're saying in your heart, you see. God knows. And God knew what this woman was. He knew where she was, and he knew what she was praying. And Eli, when he seen her lips move, but her voice was not heard, therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long, verse 14 of chapter 1, wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Now that's praying. Amen. That's getting a hold of God. That's praying. She poured her soul out before God. Who? This man that we're talking about tonight. This kingmaker. This judge and prophet. This man that ushered in a new era in God's chosen nation, Israel. Samuel. Well, the Bible says that she prayed. She left her burden there. And Eli told her, he had enough of God in him to know, well, God's going to honor that praying. That's the kind of praying God honors, brethren. Now, I want to encourage those of you here tonight. I have no way of knowing what the church family, some of the things, the intricate, some of the personal things that you're going through. But now God knows every situation you're going through. God knows about it. He knows our cares and our burdens and our sorrows. And God's listening to our prayer. And God's looking on our heart. You see, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God's looking at the heart. Man might look at you and judge you and think, well, you should do this and you should do that. But God knows the sorrow in your heart. God knows the brokenness and the burden, just like he did this woman here. And notice what the scripture says in verse number 19. It says, after Eli had told him, now you go your way, and he said, God's going to honor that. It says in verse 19, as Brother Corey read, they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. Now here's Hannah. I believe God gave her confirmation, brethren. I do. I believe God gave her confirmation. Now the priest said it's going to happen, but had the priest not spoken a word, I believe the high priest in heaven gave her some confirmation. We're going to get this done, Hannah. Amen. I heard you praying, and this is going to get done. Well, there's nothing like when you pray and God gives you that confirmation. You know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, listen, it's like God speaks in your ear. This is going to get done. Now, he may not tell us how or when, but God lets you know. He gives you that confirmation. I believe that happened because it says in verse 19, they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. Now, watch it now. I love this. And the Lord remembered her. Well, she asked him to. Amen. Lord, remember me. Don't forget me. And God honored and answered her prayer. And he remembered her. And what happened? Well, the Bible says, wherefore it came to pass in verse 20, the time was about after Hannah had conceived, she bare a son and called his name Samuel, which means ask of God. And that's what the scripture says, because it says in the latter part of there, I have asked him of the Lord. Well, as time went on, the Bible says that Elkanah went up at the annual time and he offered the sacrifice, but Hannah stayed there to wean him. So here is the beginning of this young child. And Hannah had said, God, you give him to me now. You give him to me and I'm going to give him back. Well, the time had come. We have some scripture that says in chapter number 2, I like this, and I want to, there's a great principle here, and I want you to watch this. So what happened here? Here's a woman who had a great need. She was in sorrowful of heart and spirit. And she poured out her burden before the Lord. She prayed. Now, brethren, there's a devil and there's a world out there, and this old weak flesh will tell us that God's not listening and he's not hearing our prayer. But this book right here says over and over and over again that the ear of the Lord is open to the righteous. Now, God's listening when you pray. Now, he is. Now, I talked this morning about God's watching what you do, and he is. But listen, I want to give you another side of this. God's also listening when you pray. He's listening. So don't you think God's not listening. God hears and answers the prayers of his people. You ought to praise God for that. I do. And I believe you do as well. And God heard this woman's cry. He heard her cry. And God, he intervened in her situation. Now what did Hannah do? Did she go on with life and say, oh, well, God owed me that. Oh, no. Oh, no. Look at chapter number 2. The Bible says that Hannah prayed, and this wasn't just any kind of prayer. This is, listen, every prayer ought to be joined with praise. God answered her prayer. You know what she did? She began to praise God for it. Prayer and praise go hand in hand, brethren. Somebody said praise without prayer is presumptuous, and prayer without praise is ingratitude. They go together. So Hannah prays one of the most grateful, precious prayers in all the Bible. And she begins to praise God. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is 1 Samuel 2:2. I quote it often when I'm praying, and I quote it to others. It says in verse number 2, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." Oh, Hannah, she got that assurance, and she knew God is hearing and answering my prayer, and I just praise his holy name. Now, this is this man that we're talking about, his mother. Thank God for a mother like this. Amen? Well, after she began to pray and praise God, the Bible says that she now was going to fulfill what she said she was going to do. Look at verse 19. The Bible says, "Moreover, his mother made him a little coat." See, she had took Samuel up to the temple, and she gave him to the priest, and she said, "Eli," she said, "I told you, I made a vow to God, and I'm going to keep my vow, brethren." The Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not keep it. Now, making a vow is serious. You promise God something, you need to be serious about that. Don't just in a moment of emotion just start making promises to God. Think through what you're doing, because God's going to hold you accountable for it. Right? Right? So she kept her vow. And while little Samuel's up there at the temple, the Bible says in verse number 19 that his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Look at verse number 21. "The Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord." So here he is growing up. Here's this child that God's got his hand on, that God has a purpose for. I thought about our fellowship. I thought about all these children here, and I thought, you know, God's got his hand on everyone. In some way, these are little Samuels around here. See, God's got his hand on your life, young man. Young lady, God's got his hand on your life. God's got a purpose for your life, too. See, Samuel's not the only young child that God has a purpose for their life. See, many of you, your mother and daddy's prayed for you. They prayed you right into this world, and they've prayed right over you. And God, listen, God has a special plan and purpose for your life. And don't you ever discredit that. Don't you ever let anyone tell you any differently. God's got a plan for your life, just like he did this man's life. Let's see what happens. The Bible says in verse number 26 of 1 Samuel chapter 2, "And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men." Well, if my time calculation's right and some of the history I've read, we got about an 11 or 12-year-old boy now who's in the church. He's in the temple. Morning, noon, and night. That's where he's at. You know, when my children were growing up, and many of you when your children grow up, they spent a lot of time in the church. Now, parents, listen to me. Listen to me now. Keep your children in the church. Keep them in. I'm not talking about just church services. Amen. Bring them up here to pick up trash in the parking lot. Sweep a bus out. Clean a restroom. Straighten up books. I see these young ladies after the service, some of these young men straightening up books. You get them doing something in God's house. I like to see these little fellas, little men's what they are, taking up the offering, ushering. Some of these young ladies up here singing. Listen, you keep your children involved in serving God. Keep your children involved in serving God. And we're going to give you every opportunity. As the pastor of this church, I've made a vow to God. I make a vow to you. We will open up every opportunity for your children to serve God in the ministry of this local church. Because this is not, listen, this is not the church of tomorrow for the children. This is the church of today for them. Now, they may be tomorrow's leaders, but they're not the church of tomorrow. If they're saved, they're just as much a church of the day as you are. I say that all the time, and I mean it every time I say it. I don't even like to hear that statement. When people refer to children, listen, if they're saved, they're just as much a part of the church as you and I are. Let's not confuse them. If they're saved, they're part of the church. So we can't say they're the church of tomorrow. They may be the church's leaders of tomorrow, but we've got to train them and mentor them and help them to know their place in the local church. Amen. So here's what happened. The scripture says that Samuel grew on now. Now watch chapter 3. Watch chapter 3, the way it begins. We're gonna go now from Samuel's mother. All right? She prayed for him. She bare him. And she left him in God's hands. That's the greatest thing you can do as a parent. Amen? Amen. And we're going to move from the man's mother to the man's ministry. Look at the way chapter 3 begins. It says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." All right? So we go from the man's mother, Hannah. That's what chapters 1 and 2 is about. Now we're going to move to the man's ministry. And I'm just going to highlight a few things, all right? See, just because, now here, watch it now, 11 and 12 years old now, all right? But God gave him a ministry. Now God's given you a ministry, young man. Young lady, listen to me. God's given you a ministry. And some of you may be in your 20s and 30s and 40s and you still haven't figured out what God's ministry is for you. But don't you give up now. You get on your face before God and you find out what God's ministry for your life is. You'll never have peace. You'll never have fulfillment until you know what God's ministry for your life is. There are people, I'm talking about saved people now, people that are saved, that are searching and wondering and looking. They have no aim, no direction. Why? They've never found God's purpose, God's ministry for their life. Don't you be that way. Now some, they get saved later in life. They get saved later, but many of you now, you're young. You've been brought up in church. You've got good, godly parents. You got a preacher who loves you and cares for you. You got people who pray for you. You get a hold of God and say, "God, I want to know what your purpose and your ministry for my life is." If you don't pray that every day, young folk, you need to start praying that. You need to start praying that. That ought to come just as natural as praying for your food. Don't you sleep well at night until you have prayed, "God, what is your ministry? What is your purpose for my life?" And so the Bible says here in chapter 3 that the child, not the man now, the child, Samuel, ministered unto the Lord. You know, as far as I can tell, his ministry was just turning on the lights and turning them off. He just lit the lamp and blew it out. Amen. I mean, as far as I can tell, that was his ministry. "Oh, preacher, that's not important." Well, we'll come to church one night with no lights and see how important it is. Right? It's amazing how important things can be when you need it. And so I don't want any person, young or old, to think, "Well, you know, I just sweep the bus, or I just drive a bus, or I just sing in the choir. I just clean this or do that." It's insignificant. Said it before, going to say it again. We'll say it till Jesus takes me home. There's no insignificant work for Jesus. There's no insignificant work when you do it for Jesus. I tell you, brother, you can take something. You go down to the workplace and sweep the floor, and it might be viewed as insignificant. But somehow you can attach the name Jesus and the work of God and the kingdom of God to it, and that makes it one of the most important things that there is. Amen? Because you're doing it for the King of Kings. We're doing it for God. And so God help us. So here he was. Now watch it. Look, if you would, in verse number 4. I want to talk to you about the call of Samuel. This is some of the most precious scripture in all the Bible. Going to go through this, just highlight it, so catch it with me, all right? The Lord called Samuel, verse number 4, chapter number 3. And he answered, "Here am I. Here am I." And he ran into Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I call not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Verse number 6 says, "And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I call not, my son. Lie down again." Verse number 7, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child." Now, there's something very important that you need to understand right here, young folks. Now look right up here at the preacher, all right? Now, you're not alone in this. Sometimes, when God is speaking to us, we don't hear clearly. We hear, but we don't fully grasp and understand. And God has somebody waiting that's going to help us. Now, even this backslidden priest, God had put in his life to help him. And listen, Eli realized what was going on here. Aren't you glad that Samuel, after the first, second time, just said, it's just a phase I'm going through. Now, when God speaks to your heart and you don't know what's going on, you get with a good spirit-filled person, hopefully your dad or your mom, or your preacher, your Sunday school teacher. and you say, hey, listen, God, something going on in my heart. Amen. There's something going on in my heart, and I want you to pray with me. Now, don't you ever be ashamed to do that, young man. Young ladies, listen to me now. God does a work in young people's heart. And when God gets stirring in your heart, don't just put that to the side. No, God's doing it for a purpose. God's getting you ready. And so Samuel went, and he went back, and then he went, and then he went back, and then he went. And Eli said, you know what? He said, I'm going to tell you what to do. Now watch this now. He got instruction from the preacher. The Bible says in verse number 9, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. When you get instruction, when you get counsel from the man of God, follow it. That's what he done. He did exactly what the man of God said to do. And you know what? God done a work in his life. Notice what the scripture says. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do this thing. He said, I got something for you to do. And he revealed it to him this night. This is the call. We're talking about the ministry. See, ministry has a call on it. Now listen to me. It's important. I'm talking to you about a man that God used mightily. Ministry has a call. And God called this man. But now look at the conduct. Look at the conduct. Go over to chapter number 7, if you would. Chapter 7. Chapter 7 begins where the children of Israel, they're skittish, they're afraid because of the enemy, the Philistines. Look at verse number 3. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel. This man's answered the call of God. He's got God on his life. Watch this. This is outstanding Bible stuff here. Amen. I love it. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. That's their little pet god, you know, their little pagan god. He said, you put them away from you and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Now he laid it out there to him. He said, you want God on your life? You want God to do some things with you and for you? You're going to have to follow God's way. Amen? Aren't you glad for men that'll do that? Aren't you glad when you got saved that you didn't go to one of these churches that water everything down? Aren't you glad that God put some men in the pathway of your life that told you what this book said, that challenged your heart? Hey, listen, young people, you ought to thank God that your parents found you a good Bible-believing church where you could go and hear the man of God stand and preach. Got to thank God for that. The Bible says that here was Samuel, the man of God. And here he was. He told them, this is what you've got to do. Verse number 5, I talked about a praying mom and a praying daddy. If you've got a praying Sunday school teacher, if you've got a praying preacher that prays for you, you ought to thank God for that. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, Samuel said, gather all of Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. Isn't that something? See, Samuel wasn't just a preacher man. Samuel was a praying man. Samuel knew how to get a hold of God on behalf of others. And he moved people. He moved the hand of God. He moved people. And people would go to him and say, pray for me, pray for me. What's something, folks, when our young people come to us and they say, pray for me, pray for me. Don't you ever discredit that and take that lightly. Some young folk come up to you and say, I want you to pray for me. You take that serious. You take time out of whatever you're doing and you pray for that young person. That means something to them. And that's what happened here. Samuel was a praying man. Now, why do you think? Watch it now, verse number 5. Look at that in chapter 7, verse 5. He said, gather all of Israel to Mizpah and I will pray unto the Lord. Why do you think Samuel, where do you think he got that from? He had a mama who knew what it was to pray. Mama, listen to me. Daddy, listen to me. When your children know you pray, it's going to rub off on them. When your children see you pray, it's going to help them to learn what it is to pray. Now, I'm not saying you can pray through them, but you can teach your children, you can teach them the importance of prayer. And it's not just by verbalizing it or reading scripture to them, it's by exercising it. It's by showing them prayer means something. Prayer is important. Place a premium on prayer in your life. Let your children catch you praying. Amen? Let them see you praying. Let them hear you call their name out. I instructed a family just this week. Sometimes you just ought to go and knock on the door of your child and say, hey, I want to come in and talk to you some. And when you go in, just say, let's pray. Just pray with them. Pray with your children. It means a lot. It means a lot just to pray with them. Amen. You with me, folks? This is important. This is a man of God, and he's praying for a people, and he's got God's attention. Samuel had gotten to the place. Turn over to chapter 12 just for a moment. Samuel had gotten to the place, and in case you're getting kind of afraid, I'm not going to go through the whole book of Samuel. I'm about to wrap this up. But listen, look at chapter number 12 just for a moment. Look at verse number 23. Listen, here was a man that was brought up in the house of a praying mother and I believe a praying father. And I want you to notice, he learned the importance of the temple. He got some things straightened out in his life early, and he placed a premium on prayer, so much so, look at what the Bible says in First Samuel chapter 12, look at verse 23. Moreover, as for me, chapter 12, verse 23. Moreover, as for me, this is Samuel speaking. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Samuel had come to the place in his life where he realized it is sinful not to pray. It's sinful not to pray for my church, my family, my nation, for sinners. It's sinful. We need to get to praying, brethren. God give us some praying people. Amen. God give us some preachers that'll pray, some deacons and Sunday school teachers, choir members, bus workers, youth workers, junior workers. God give us some people that know how to get a hold of Him. That's what's going to change this community. And that's what's going to change this world. You understand that, don't you? I'm talking to you about a man who got a hold of God. In so much, as we turn back now, bring this to a close to chapter 7, I want you to watch what happens here. So the people are watching this man, and I don't have time to go through, but they're watching this man and they're thinking, man, who is this guy? Amen. I mean, this guy can get a hold of heaven. Who is this man? This Samuel. This guy speaks and God listens. This God speaks and God does it. We need this man. See, the world needs to know that they need us. Because we can get in touch with an entity that they can't get in touch with. The world needs to know, brethren, we have an access that they do not yet have an access to if they're yet unsaved. And they need to know that. There was a day when Washington, now listen to me, there was a day when Washington brought in the preachers to pray. Now it's all show. I understand that. The inauguration, it's all show. But there was a day when the leaders of this country understood we need to get a hold of some men that can get a hold of God. There was a day when the sinners in the community knew we need to get a hold of the preacher. We need to get a hold of the church that can get a hold of God. We need God to move. Now we've moved away from that day a little, but don't think it can't happen. Watch this in chapter 7. Watch what happens here. Look in verse number 8. The Bible says the latter part of verse number 7 that they went, look at this, that last phrase in verse number 7, and when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Their heart was stricken with fear. And here comes this man that we're talking about, this kingmaker, Samuel. I want you to notice what they said to him in verse number 8. When the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us. Amen. Don't quit praying for us, Samuel. Don't quit praying for us. You see the confidence? You see what prayer will do? Prayer will bring people to you. Prayer will say, hey, don't quit praying for us. Don't cease praying. Don't quit praying. This is a good man. He's got power with God. Now you can have power with God and I can have power with God. And we can teach people that they can have power with God. And power comes through praying. I want to give you the name of a book, and I want you to write it down, and if you'll read it, you'll thank me. If you've read it, you've already thanked me. The name of the book is Power Through Prayer. How many of you have read that book? Raise your hand. Okay. And I'm not just saying this, but I recommended that book to some of you, maybe all of you. And I remember specifically you coming to thank me. Well, three or four of you did. Brother David comes to me and curses me. He said, don't you ever tell me to read a book like that again. Man, I can't sleep at night. Amen. E.M. Bounds. Find the book and read it. It'll change your life. Amen. Power through prayer. The first night that I read this book, Sheridan and I had gotten in bed, said our good nights, gave our little kiss, and I thought, I'm just going to read this little book here that somebody had given me, and I thought, I'm just going to kind of casually do a little casual reading. Listen, I wasn't in the book 10 minutes, and tears were strolling down my face, and finally, I don't know how long I had been on the side of the, I was down on the side of the bed on my face before God, and Sharon said, what are you doing? I mean, I was just broken, because I realized that God had given me a privilege that I had not settled and that I had not utilized in my life, and it's the privilege of prayer. Samuel knew that privilege. Look one more verse before we bring this to a close with a final point, and that is, look in verse number 9. The people said, don't quit praying for us in verse 8. Samuel ceased not to call unto the Lord our God. Look at the latter part of verse number 9. Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. So that's why they said, Samuel, don't you quit praying. God listens when you pray, Samuel. God listens when you pray. Don't quit praying for us. We need a praying preacher. We need a praying prophet. Can I tell you that our community needs some praying Christians? Amen. Our country needs some praying men and some praying women. Our young generation needs some praying people. Praying. People know what it is to get a hold of God and to agonize in praying. Samuel did. When Samuel spoke, God listened, and he heard his prayer. It made all the difference. It makes all the difference. I wouldn't make a major move in my life if I didn't saturate it in prayer. Young people, listen to me. You're controlled mainly by emotion in these days. A lot of hormones going on in your system. Learn what it is to tame that down a little bit and get that spirit man in you tuned in through the altar of prayer. And God will direct your life, and you won't have to keep redoing things. God will direct you if you'll ask Him. Ask Him. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Ask, and you shall receive. All right? Final point, and I'm through. His mission. Turn to chapter 8. This was Samuel's mission. The Bible says, I want to close with a word of encouragement to you parents. You're here, and you've got children. They've grown up and they're out of church and they won't serve God and your heart is broken. Some of you, your children have grown up and they're not even out yet and about, and they don't want to serve God with their life, and you're wondering why. Well, I think of Eli, and I think there's some parents that did all the wrong things and they just took the things of God lightly, and now they're reaping what they sow. But now you may not be that parent. So you may be a Samuel. And the devil's in your ear telling you you're a failure as a parent and you didn't do it right. Well, Samuel did it right. Okay? Samuel did it right. See, if you'll study, and I don't have time to go into this, if you'll study in chapter 1 and chapter 2, you'll find where God rebuked Eli for his poor parenting. He rebuked him. But you'll never find him rebuking Samuel. See, there's a time when a child grows up and they become a man and a woman. They've got to make decisions of their own. All right? And the Bible says here in 1 Samuel chapter 8, Samuel, it came to pass in chapter 8 that Samuel was old and he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second was Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. This man of God, this man that could get a hold of heaven, this man that was interceding on the behalf of an entire nation. And yet, the Bible says that when his sons grew up, they didn't follow his instruction. And they perverted and they fell into sin and greed. It was all about money and what they could get out of it. Now that can happen to you. All right? Perhaps there's some families here tonight and your children has turned aside for the things of this world. And your heart is breaking. You may be broken. Don't you give up on your children now. But more importantly, don't you give up on God. God hears and answers the prayers of His people. The final chapter has not been written. And so don't give up on them. All right? You say, well, preacher, it's my fault. Well, only you and God know about that. But I'll tell you this. I can't find anywhere in here. If you can, you come to me, where God rebuked Samuel for the actions of His children. But I can find where He rebuked Eli. Now, if you've made some mistakes, you can't change that. Some of you that have young children in your home, you're making mistakes, change it. Some of you, your children are grown and they're gone. You've made those mistakes, you can't change it, but you know what you can do? You can get a hold of God in their behalf. And some of you, your children's just gone their way in stubbornness and rebellion. And don't you listen to that voice that tells you that that's your fault. They made those decisions after they got out from under your leadership, and that's them. All right? And God's going to hold them accountable just like He holds us accountable. And so don't you bear that burden. You pray for them and you care about them, but don't you bear that burden. And what did He do here? The Bible says that the people came to Him and they said, we want us a king in verse number 5. They said unto Him, they came unto Him, they said, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all nations. I don't have time to go into this because of time. But His mission was this. His mission was to please God and to serve the people. There's no greater mission in life. This man was committed. I challenge you to read chapter 12. When Samuel came down to the end of his ministry, he called the people of Israel together and he in essence said, what have I done? Who can point a finger at me? Who can lay a charge against me? I've served God all the days of my life. Since my mother weaned me and took me to the temple, I've served my God and I've done my very best to serve you. Brethren, there's no greater testimony than to come down to the end of your life and be able to say like that man said, this was a great man of God. Great man of God. And God used him. He done a hard thing. He knew that the people didn't need Saul. But God said, go ahead. And he did what God said. Did you know God was going to give Israel David anyway? They got impatient. They got impatient. They said, we want us a king. God said, I got a king waiting in the wings. Oh, we want us a king now like the other nations. And they got Saul. See, God will give you what you ask for if you're not careful. Instead of what He's got coming to you. If you'll wait on God, God will give you what He's got coming to you. And that could have been David instead of Saul. Right? So, there's a lot of things we learn from this man Samuel. But the greatest thing I learned as I studied his life was he was a man committed to the Lord. He was a man that took instruction and he followed the Lord all the days of his life. You know what? If there's just one young person in our congregation tonight that would say, preacher, that's what I want to do. I do. I want to follow God all the days of my life. It'd be worth it all. It'd be worth it all. Getting ready to go to camp, 42 juniors, 23 of the junior high and senior high going to conference. Wouldn't it be something if you went to that camp or that conference and you said, God, here am I. Speak, for thy servant heareth thee. God, show me my purpose in life. I want to serve you with my life. God, I want to be committed to your cause. Be wonderful. Actually, what I'm going to ask you to do, if you're a junior high, senior high, I'm going to ask you to come kneel right here at the altar, and our church is going to pray for you tonight. Would you do that? Come on up here to the altar tonight. We're going to close our service that way. We're going to pray for you. All of our juniors. Come on, juniors. You know if you're a junior, don't you? If we have to tell you if you're a junior, you might want to pray something.